Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Andy Griffin. It's 9:08, and I think I have on the phone line Celeste Malloy. Hi, Celeste, are you there?
I am here.
Oh, good to hear your voice. I know you're back there in D.C. and getting to know my good friend Phil, Philly Buster, right now. I guess Akeem Jeffries decided he wasn't going to let anybody have a vote for a while, huh?
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing's been a bit of a exciting journey. We're all supposed to be in Utah this week. Well, I guess I'm supposed to be in Utah this week. Everybody's supposed to be in their districts this week in recess and celebrating the 4th of July, but we came back to vote on the bill, and we were supposed to have two quick, easy votes on Wednesday, and we are still here. We have not voted on the final passage.
This Jeffries guy is 5 hours plus, going on 6 hours of talking. What in the world could – I always wondered about it. What in the heck is he talking about all this time? Is he just stalling?
I mean, if I'm being honest, I have not listened to a single word of it.
Good for you.
I don't know what he's talking about. My guess is he's listing a parade of horribles, of scenarios that he thinks will happen if this bill passes that are not realistic. But the real story, I think – is that Democrats know they don't have the votes to stop this, so they're just trying to make it as miserable as they possibly can. I think they're trying to keep us here through the 4th of July so that we'll all be grouchy. Joke's on them, because if we pass this thing on the 4th of July, I think Trump's going to invite all of us to a big party at the White House. So, you know, I would rather be in Utah, but there are compensations for some of this stuff.
All right. Now, a lot of misconceptions about this bill, and we're talking with Representative Malloy here. I think it's important that you clear up a couple of things. A lot of people say, oh, it's, you know, Medicare, Medicaid, it's killing us. It's all Social Security. Tell us the truth about all that.
Yeah. So, truthfully, I liked the House Medicaid language better than what we got back from the Senate. Mm-hmm. But the Senate language is still not the terrible thing that everybody's painting it to be. So, it's still focused on making sure that the Medicaid dollars go to the people who are supposed to be getting Medicaid in the first place, which is pregnant mothers, the disabled, and children.
It sounds like a pretty good group that needs it.
Yeah. So in the House, we just said that adults who are able-bodied had to work to be on Medicaid. What the Senate sent us back is a change in the provider tax cap. So we're lowering the provider tax, and it gets kind of complicated from there. But the bottom line is it limits how much states can use the provider tax to boost their Medicaid funds so that they'll have to limit it back to the people who should have been on Medicaid in the first place. And there, a lot of people are really worried about rural hospitals. I'm also worried about rural hospitals.
Sure.
So there's a fund in the bill specifically for rural hospitals, but my team and I have been calling healthcare providers in Utah and talking through what this will actually mean for them and running, you know, through the scenario with them. And it sounds like our hospitals in Utah think they're going to be okay because they haven't been as irresponsible as a lot of other places have. Mm. So really what we're doing is refocusing Medicaid on who it was supposed to be focused on, which means the people that Akeem Jeffries is probably talking about on the floor right now are being protected, instead of just scattershotting it to everybody and they fall through the cracks.
Has there been any indication with Jeffries on how long this guy is he really going to try to stay up there another 3, 5, 7, 12 hours?
I have no idea. He does not talk through his plans with me, but his staff keeps bringing him new binders and handing him new binders full of things to say. I have heard that in order to break the record for the longest filibuster, he's going to have to go until 10 p.m. tonight. So if he's got that kind of stamina, I have an odd level of respect for that, because I would never want to do it. But in the meantime, I have cleaned and organized my office. I've made my Christmas list. I'm rattling around like a BB in a can here in my office.
Call some old friends from high school. Why not? You know, I mean, you've got all kinds of time on your hands.
Bright side, they woke us all up and told us we were going to vote at 5 a.m. So I got up at 4 and showered, and, you know, I could have slept in until, I don't know, noon at the rate we're going.
Is there a cot in your office? Maybe you ought to catch a couple of Z's now.
I did have a little nap on the couch in my office at about 7 o'clock this morning because we were all there until after midnight last night. So I got to bed around 1 and got up around 4.
Yeah,
so
3 hours.
3 hours and some caffeine. I should be great.
You know, if you were 16 and in high school, that's not a big deal. But you're not 16 anymore, Celeste.
Yeah. Well, if I was 16 and in high school, I'd be doing this so that I could go, you know, start a bonfire with my friends or something. Not so I could watch Hakeem Jeffries speak for hours on end.
So you say you feel like the bill will pass whenever Jeffries finally stops talking.
I don't think we would be at this point if leadership didn't have the vote count. The reason we were here so late last night is because they held the procedural vote, the amendment to the rule vote, open while they negotiated with all the holdouts. And the fact that they closed that vote and moved on to debate means that they got to an agreement where we have the numbers.
Are there other misconceptions about this bill that you're hearing that are kind of big red flags that people just don't understand?
Yes, a few of them. So SNAP. A lot of people are calling my office. They're really worried about SNAP benefits. Mm-hmm. What this bill does is, so states administer SNAP for the federal government. Right now, states bear part of the administration costs. This says states will have to bear 75% of the administrative costs.
Okay.
Utah already bears 50%. So it's not a huge increase for Utah. And the reason to do that is to make sure that states have skin in the game when they're administering it, to make sure that they're only giving SNAP to the people who should be eligible for it. And a good example of why that matters. So Utah only has a 5.75% payment error rate, which means almost all of Utah's SNAP payments are good payments.
Okay.
Alaska has a 25% error rate.
Ooh.
So that's why Lisa Murkowski held off so long on this one. Like, this is actually going to make a big difference in states that have just been sloppy and haven't been administering SNAP carefully. But what we're doing is snapping it down, to be punny, I guess, and making sure that the dollars are going to the people that SNAP was intended to help. And the truth that everybody kind of instinctively knows, but it's easy to lose track of in these discussions, is that every dollar in the federal budget goes somewhere. And every time we cut a dollar out, someone somewhere is going to lose that dollar. And so what you're going to hear a lot of is people screaming about dollars that they used to get. But what we're trying to stay focused on is where were the dollars supposed to be going?
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Any other misconceptions you want to bring? We got about 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, this is not a misconception, but something that a lot of people are missing in the big national conversation. RECA, the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act, the Downwind Response, is reauthorized in this bill. So it's been unauthorized for a year now. We've been negotiating, trying to get it reauthorized, and it's in the bill. It passed the Senate. It's in the version we're going to vote on in the House. And it's expanded to cover all of Utah. And it's expanded to cover the uranium miners during those years before MSHA regulated, when uranium miners were handling uranium in ways that caused cancer. So that's a huge win for Utah, for the people who've been waiting to get that reauthorized. But it's not one of the things that you're hearing about on the national news channel, so a lot of people have missed that part.
Yeah, I don't know that I've heard much about that at all. I appreciate you bringing that up.
Yeah, that's big news for rural Utah, for southern Utah. It also adjusts the compensation rate for inflation, because the compensation rate's been the same since 1991.
Wow.
So that's something I think we can all get excited about in this big, beautiful bill.
Yeah. Are we allowed to call it that anymore? Because I heard a commentator earlier say the bill formerly known as the big, beautiful bill. I don't know if we're allowed to.
They did something on the Senate side, something procedurally with the name, but on the House side, it is HR1, and its name is the One Big Beautiful Bill Act.
I'm
on the House side, and we're passing it today.
All right, Celeste, thank you for spending a few minutes with us and explaining things. And I hope, with all due respect to Mr. Jeffries, I hope he shuts up pretty soon so you can have a vote.
You and me both.
We'd love to have you back in the Beehive State. Celeste, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you later. That's Representative Celeste Malloy. I will bring Mayor Michelle Randall here, two beautiful and smart ladies.
I am a big fan of... I, I've just always called her Celeste because she worked here forever.
I know exactly.
Congresswoman Malloy.
I know. I probably. In fact, I actually had somebody one time text me, "You need to call him senator. You need to call her representative." I'm like, "Yeah, but I've known him like for so long."
I know. Celeste, she worked here in the county attorney's office, and she was up at the Water Conservancy District.
Right.
And went to work for Congressman Stewart, and now we have her representing us, and that's great. And I hadn't heard of the Downwinders Fund being re-upped, basically. And that is great news because, you know, my grandpa and my father-in-law both died from cancer from Downwinders. And the amount of money isn't a lot, but it still helps a little bit toward your medical expenses and different things. And there's still all kinds of people here affected from the fallout that happened clear back when.
Yeah. No, I actually have this theory. I don't have very many conspiracy theories, but I have one about there's an unusually high number of thyroid problems in southern Utah. I think it has something to do with all of that. And I have no proof, but... you know, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck.
I do, right? Too. I think we still have a really high rate of cancer here.
Mm-hmm.
Just for myself, having breast cancer 6 years ago, there's a store. It's called Carol's Mastectomy Store. So for anyone who's gone through breast cancer and has had a mastectomy or things like that, and they are so busy. You would think a store like that, how do they
stay? Yeah, it would be not. No, nobody would go to. I mean, there's hardly anybody.
They are so busy. And wow. When I was in there, she told me that they're just seeing younger and younger women mm-hmm. get breast mm-hmm. cancer. And you're seeing all kinds of cancers. And part of it, this is my conspiracy as well,
okay,
is how long does that radiation stay in the ground? I mean, forever, maybe?
Seems like maybe forever,
and then when we start building in places that haven't been built and digging it all up, I just wonder if that has something to do with the amount of autoimmune diseases we're seeing here, thyroid mm-hmm. issues, cancer, mm-hmm. different things like that. So, but it's nice that this has been implemented back into this bill, because there were a lot of people out there that were like, people are still affected by this. In fact, Tony's grandma wrote a book called Downwinders. Many, many moons ago. She's been gone a long time now, but it was all about the fallout and how it affected southern Utah.
Well, again, yeah, great to have. If you're just tuning in, we talked with Representative Celeste Malloy, and they had for a year inactivated the Downwinders part of the compensation, and it is, if this bill passes today, which I think it will, and President Trump will sign this his bill in the first place, then it'll be reactivated. So
it's just too bad that they just can't get it over with so that they all can go back to their home states for the 4th of July.
Yeah, some guy likes to, like Celeste said, she thinks Hakeem Jeffries is trying to make everybody grumpy. Keep him till the 4th of July, make him grumpy.
It might make me grumpy.
I think it would, yeah. Well, and I was talking with her aide, and she said, yeah, most of the Congress people have gone back to their offices, and they're bored. They're doing whatever to pass the time because
just
this guy won't stop
done.
Talking.
Right.
So.
And I don't know how you talk that long.
No, I know. I remember once.
You just read books? Like, does somebody bring you, like, they might as well just take them, like, Les Mis and read it.
Yeah.
At least it would be maybe entertaining.
Maybe not, too, though. I don't know. We're talking with Michelle Randall, who is mayor of St. George City and has been the mayor for a few years now, and been working really hard.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, Michelle, this fascinates me. You and Nanette Millings are perfect examples of people who basically have turned the mayor job into a full-time, all-time type job. A lot of our mayors are mostly male, that have other jobs, and so doing a mayor is kind of a part-time thing. It seems like to me, and I'm just a dumb guy, I don't know anything about anything, but it seems like to me, having someone that doesn't have another job like you and Nanette is kind of cool, kind of important, kind of big, because you can afford to spend a lot of time on doing your duties, and, you know, you don't get compensated for some of it, but...
you could spend as much time as you wanted or as little time as you wanted. But I think to be effective, you have to be out there and going to a lot of different things. And
yeah.
And there's just take Congresswoman Malloy, for instance. One of her aides called me yesterday to, she said, I want to send you a list of some of the good things in this bill because it's getting so trashed.
Yeah.
And things that will be really good for Southern Utah. And I got a call from Senator Curtis the day before saying that he got funding for us for the 400 East Underpass.
Oh, yeah.
And so we were really thrilled about that because they didn't think they were going to be able to get funding for that. And they did. And I have a really good relationship with the mayors in the county. And we have a monthly mayor's meeting yeah. all together to talk about, because so many of the issues that affect St. George are affecting, you know, Hurricane, even Leeds is having issues right now. I mean, it's all over with the growth that we're having and different things like that. And you want to be in touch with your commissioners and the Water Conservancy District and
right.
all the main players. You want them to know you. You want to be comfortable enough to just be able to call them on the phone and ask different questions. And if you hear something, be able to call them and make sure you're getting the right information. So,
do you think there will be a time come in St. George that we need a full-time... And I don't want to diminish what you already work full time more all the time, but should it be a full time job? Is it getting to the point where it needs to be?
I like the form of government we have.
Okay.
I like having a city manager. What worries me about it being a full time mayor is then do you have people just running because they want a job?
Mm-hmm.
And our city manager does a great job managing the day-to-day operations. That's something I don't have to do. He and I are in contact constantly.
Right, and that's in Utah, that's a big part of city government is you got the mayor, but then you've got a city manager in almost all cities, and they do, like you said, a lot of the day-to-day grind work.
They are in constant contact with all the department heads. In fact, we meet once a week as an executive staff, so you have all of the department heads and the city manager, the assistant city manager, which mm-hmm. is now Robert Myers, our
yeah,
budget
congratulations,
director.
Robert. He's been on the show a few times.
Yep, he has. He's great. And we meet to talk about issues in everybody's department and things going on, things that are upcoming, things that need to be brought to a council agenda, things like that. But John does an amazing job, and he stays in touch with not only myself, but the council, and he just has this open-door policy. And I really like it. And so, and I don't even know the process of going toward a full-time mayor. I think it's a referendum or something. I'm not even sure because I've never looked into it because I don't really care.
Well, and you'd have to when you think about it, you'd have to carve out quite a bit of money because you would have salary, but you would also have benefits like health insurance. You would also have a pension involved, perhaps.
Right.
I mean, it could get really expensive and really complicated.
And we're fortunate here in St. George that our elected officials do have benefits. Some don't in other cities, but some do. And we do get benefits. So
that's nice.
That's nice.
Very nice. And as you probably know, my wife has worked for Washington City for 30 and a half years now. She could retire at any time. And I make sure and have her remind her boss of that whenever she, I can retire any time now. But
be nice to me.
Yeah. But you know, as a full-time employee, she's got a pension. She's got health insurance,
right.
Which is 100% paid for, which is, I mean, there's still the big deductible and all that stuff, as
exactly.
I know too well, unfortunately. You do too.
Yes,
I'm sure.
Yes.
But it's a nice thing to have. I was talking about this on the show yesterday. She probably made less money as a government employee the last 30 years than if she were in the private sector, but the compensation's made up for that. So.
Well, and a lot of people do, and that's why they're compensated with benefits, because you can. If you're an engineer, you could make a lot more money in the private mm-hmm. sector than being an engineer at a city.
Or a nurse, if you're the health department or whatever. Yeah, you could totally make more money.
But we're glad that there are people that want to work in the public sector. I mean, you just think about even just school teachers. I mean,
oh, yeah. It's a passion. It's not.
It is a passion.
Not really a job. It's a passion.
Mm-hmm. It has to be.
I was going to ask you about this. Now, you were in, like, even back to high school, you were in, like, student government and stuff, right? So this has been something part of you, right, your whole life?
You know, student government in high school is just fun.
I know, but it's still, I mean, you're basically declaring, I'm into this a little bit.
You plan dances, you plan fun things, you know. The mayor's quite different from that. I never had aspirations to go into politics.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay.
I was always very much, I stayed up to date on national state politics. Mm-hmm. I was kind of like a political junkie, you might say.
Okay.
But never thought of doing it myself. And
So what made you want to run for city council back in the day and then eventually mayor?
What made me want to run is we own Dixie Ambulance Service, mm-hmm. that a lot of people know. And Gold Cross Ambulance came in and they applied for our license with the state. Ambulances are a legalized monopoly in St. George. You can't have two ambulance services in a city unless your fire department's doing it and you have a private one that's just transporting or something like that. Hmm. And I couldn't get anybody at the city level to really listen to what was going to happen if they just sat back and didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. So after we finally just waved the white flag and said we're done, we're tired of the fight, the attorney fees, all of that kind of stuff. And then I just said, you know what? I'm going to run for city council. I want somebody to have a person at the city government that will listen, that will really be an advocate if something like that would ever happen again. And so I did, and I won, and I really enjoyed it, and never had aspirations to be the mayor. I thought I'd just do two or three terms on the city council and call it good. Mm-hmm. And then when John Pike called and said he was resigning, he asked me to really think about it. And I had some other people call and said, you really need to think about doing this. And it was a hard decision to make.
Yeah.
And then I finally decided I would do it, win, lose, or draw. And the council because the council votes. And they voted for me to finish John's term, which John and I were on the same cycle.
Okay.
So I would have been up for re-election for city council at the same time. So instead I just ran for mayor. After that, his term was up, and now here we are again.
Here we are. And another election coming up.
Another election season.
Not very far away. Let's get a commercial break in. We're not really going to talk a lot about the election. Everybody said, why don't you talk with the mayor about the election? Well,
because you have to give everybody the equal opportunity.
There's weird FCC rules where whatever amount of time we spend on the election for one candidate has to be offered for all the candidates. And right now there's four of them.
There is four of them, but every mayor in the county is up for re-election this year.
True. True.
Yeah.
So we will have some special shows as we get closer. I think I'm going to wait till after the primary, though, when we cut them all down to two.
Yeah.
Because I just don't have time on my show to have all the candidates on. But we will have some special shows on as the elections approach. Right now, let's get a commercial break, and we'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. Thanks again to Celeste Malloy, the House of Representatives. And so far, I'm watching The Wire closely to see if that Jeffrey guy ever stops talking. But and then we get that vote. Also, thanks to Michelle Randall, the mayor of St. George City, for being on the show today. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Do we call it happy? What is it?
Independence Day Eve, maybe?
Independence Day Eve, maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, something. Happy 3rd of July.
Yeah. I heard a guy on the radio, I think it was early this morning, he said, why do we call it the 4th of July? Why don't we call it Independence Day? We don't call Christmas the 25th of December or...
It's true.
Or, you know, I guess Easter and Thanksgiving move a little depending because it's a certain day, not date. But, it's true. Let's call it Independence Day. Happy Independence Day.
That's right. That's right. And so this year at the city... last year, it was miserably hot if people can remember.
Oh, yeah. In fact, it was
gross.
It was so hot, you had some employees that had some issues.
We did. We had employees, like, pass out at the mm-hmm. at Town Square. So we rethought. So this, Boris, tomorrow is supposed to be fairly nice weather. I mean,
nice 95 instead of 105.
Yeah, 105, 110. But so we're still doing our Uncle Sam 4K that we always do early in the morning. Which I think it's at 6:30.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's early. Yeah.
It's early.
And it's 4K, not 5 or 2 or 3 or whatever.
It's 4.
4K, yep.
And a lot of families run it. And then the parade is at 7:45. That is,
which is an early parade.
It's an early parade. But we try to beat the heat. And if it's like tomorrow is like today, it'll be great. But that is the biggest attended parade we
really?
Ever have.
This is number one, huh?
Oh, my gosh.
Did you buy a lot of candy?
We always do, and every year we say, okay, we need more, and we get more. And we still, the people clear down by Vernon Wortham Park at the very end, I'm like,
they don't get any.
Because it's gone. We've got to be more conservative with our candy and realize that every single other person is throwing out candy. But there won't be a big to-do at Town Square. And the carnival, we have moved the carnival to come during Dixie Days in September.
Okay.
So Dixie Days is the third week in September. The weather will be much more reasonable.
I was going to say, hopefully by third week of September, things start to get
not
bad.
And I think the carnival will be more enjoyable than going over there in just super hot weather.
So after the parade?
After the parade
kind of nothing until nighttime.
Nothing till nighttime. There, obviously, the stadium has their big to-do. And Brett Young is the artist this year.
Oh, yeah. You going to get up and sing with him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no. Okay. you are going to speak or something.
They always have me just do like a minute, 90-second welcome people. But then the fireworks show will be at 10. We hired this year a new pyrotechnic.
Really?
Yeah, last year was a huge disappointment. We didn't really have a grand finale. And I was having people text me.
Kind of?
They actually didn't have us pay. The company, was a new guy they had, and they're like, we are so sorry. And so it was a disappointment. This year will not be a disappointment. So you can watch fireworks all over. They sent them off down by Greater Zion Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Also, go on the St. George website, sgcityutah.gov.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a tab there that will say fireworks. And on there, it'll show you where fireworks are legal in the city and where they are not. Please, I'm pleading. As dry of a year as we've had, if you are up on Four Master Drive watching fireworks, don't set off your own personal fireworks up there.
No, it's illegal.
It's illegal, and if we find the person who starts a fire, you will pay for
the whole fire, everything
it
does, yeah.
Everything. You will get a nice, big, fat bill. And so we just want people to be really careful, especially this year with it being dry.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure if you're doing a little fireworks show out in front of your house that you have a bucket of water there or a hose. Throw your sparklers in a bucket of water. We have a lot of people that will put them in the trash, and then we have a lot of trash fires.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, you said in front of your, you're not allowed to do them in front of your house, are you?
In certain areas of St. George, you can.
Okay.
And it has a list of all the parks that are open that you can do fireworks
in. I'm looking at the list right now. Yep.
I think there's 19 parks.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some homes. I think there's a place you can go and you can actually type your address in to see if you can do them in front of your home.
Okay.
Like in front of my house, I could do them. I don't do them because I don't like to do them.
My wife always says it's like burning money.
It is burning money, right?
Yeah.
But we'll have people that will do just even sparklers or little. The only things I like for my grandkids are those little poppet things because they don't do any damage.
Cool noise, yeah.
but make sure that they soak them overnight before you throw them in your garbage can, or you may wake up to a nice fire in your garbage can next to your house that,
or into your house starting your house on fire.
It's all hands on deck tomorrow night for the fire department, and they are always so busy.
As you know, I have that forest park behind my house.
Yeah.
That is a tinderbox. If something burning or very hot lands in that thing, the whole thing's going to go poof. I mean, it's going to go fast. So I'm hopeful that people are smart and don't do dumb things.
and so many people will say, just ban them. Don't let anybody do personal fireworks. We can't ban them unless the governor tells us we can.
Well, and the state tried it a few years back. They tried the ones that shoot in the air. They tried to ban those. It didn't work out because Utahns were going to Wyoming and Idaho and wherever else and buying
Malapa,
fireworks.
And Nevada, it's just, so we personally can't ban them. What we can do is say they aren't allowed in these areas. And that's what we've tried to do. So we just want people to be safe, have a good time.
Well, I hope people will look up the hill here, the Forsyth fire, and say, okay, this could happen here. Imagine something starts on fire here in town and the repercussions that involved with that. It's just not worth it. And you said, I hope people are smart and realize what could happen.
Yep, exactly. And because we have the 24th coming up too, that fireworks are allowed during the 24th as well.
Right.
So this whole month, just be really smart and try to not start a fire in your neighborhood or your house. Or
by the way, fireworks, you cannot shoot them or light them after 11 p.m. That's yesterday, today, and tomorrow on the 4th, you can go till midnight.
Yes.
But not after midnight. And then on the 5th, you can light them till 11 p.m. again. But then it's a moratorium from the 6th to the 23rd, I think it is, or 22nd. You can't light them again. And I know there are a lot of people, I spent a lot of money on this, I'm going to light it. I don't care what day of the week. Well, it does matter, and you could get a citation or worse if you start a fire. So.
And you're really keeping your neighbors awake, and their dogs are going crazy.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Some of us have to get up really early, too. So let's get another break in. When we come back, we'll wrap things up with Mayor Randall, including questions you might have. If you'd like to text me, please 435-467-5842, and I'll pass the message on to the mayor. Or you can call in at 673-5890. We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
By the way, Michelle Randall with me here today. Today is the anniversary of Andy Griffith passing away. And, he played, of course, Andy Taylor on the Andy Griffith Show as the sheriff there. And then he was Matlock for a long time. We used to joke, because I was a teenager when Matlock was popular in the 80s. And we used to joke, oh, yeah, only grandmas watch that. And now I'm like, yeah, probably about the same age. So
They've remade Matlock. Have you watched it?
I know Kathy Bates is now the Matlock. I saw one episode. And it's not that I didn't like it. It's just, I was like, okay, there's one. Cool.
Yeah.
So, and one of the problems, too, with the show like that is I watched, season 3, episode 9, and so I was totally lost on everybody who the characters were and stuff. But
yeah, you have to start at episode 1. One thing I forgot to mention about the 4th tomorrow is both of the city pools are free tomorrow.
So Shaq, Sand Hollow out there, Aquatic Center?
Yep, and the one on 700.
Right downtown,
south.
Which got a facelift this
past
year.
It did get a nice facelift.
Have you been? I haven't been to it yet. So
yes.
Pretty awesome.
It is nice. A lot more room for parents to sit around and watch their kids.
I'm one of those,
So those will be free tomorrow.
Nice.
We decided
free swimming tomorrow.
Since we're not doing the big hoopla at Town Square, at least we'll have those open for people to have something to do in the afternoon.
Are you and Tony going to queue tomorrow? You can barbecue a little bit?
I don't know. We haven't got that far.
Tell Tony he needs to cook for you.
How many hamburgers and hot dogs do you think are made tomorrow?
Well, I had a guy on earlier talking about this. Americans will eat 150 million hot dogs tomorrow.
Holy
150
cow.
Million. Now, hamburgers, probably not that many, probably half that, but that's a lot.
That is a lot of hot dogs.
Yeah, it is.
That's crazy.
I think the number, I'm thinking back, they did a number, I think the average American eats like 50-something hot dogs a year.
Really?
And I'm like, okay, well, my wife won't eat them, period. And I kind of, only if they're like really like the all beef ballpark franks, right, or whatever, is the only ones I'll eat. So I guess we're bringing the average down because we don't eat that many of those.
Oh, yeah. Me either.
Although Joey Chestnut, right, Mr. Hot Dog Competition guy, he probably eats 100 times that many. So
yeah, I'll eat a hot dog occasionally, mm-hmm, but it's not like my go-to.
Yeah.
If I'm picking between a hot dog and hamburger, it's always going to be hamburger.
Go with the burger, yeah. Unless it's undercooked. I don't like the pink hamburger. I have a daughter-in-law who, there's a certain brand of hot dogs she won't eat. I'm like, why that brand? They just taste like garbage. I'm like, okay, well, whatever. But I like the Johnsonville brats myself. And I don't think that, is that technically a hot dog?
No.
Not really. No,
no,
it's a bratwurst.
Yeah, it's fancy, but, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm blown away by that many hot dogs will be eaten tomorrow.
150 million. Okay, here's a text. Let's have a save fourth. Don't risk our firefighters' lives. Save fourth. Okay. Don't risk our firefighters' lives or our beautiful state of Utah. Also, when you do fireworks, you are supporting China. Yeah, most of them are made in China. Happy Independence Day and God bless America. I like that text. That's a good text.
That's a good text. Happy, yeah. Happy Independence Day as well,
Day,
and
yeah.
God bless America. And, you know, I just think we've all been, you don't have to live in Pine Valley, but everybody that lives here has some special tie to Pine Valley. It's just a special place.
Mm-hmm.
Go up there to the campground or just go up for a picnic, go up to hike. You know somebody that has a cabin up there. And this fire, I mean, it's still not even halfway contained.
Yeah.
And we're not saying it was started by fireworks, but you just look at how dry things are and the wind with that combination, look at what it's done. It's just, mm-hmm, it'll take generations for Pine Valley to ever look the same.
It's true. Now we've got to worry about with the burn scar, flooding, and who knows what all else might happen. And, you know, there's some, I think, an editorial in there about, you know, managing the forest improperly and stuff like that. But we're not going to go there too far today. But it's all there. And I'm like you. Like, I don't own a cabin in Pine Valley, but there have been special moments up there where I've gone to a friend's cabin, or we've gone camping, or my sister got married up there. I think you're right. I think everyone that lives here has some kind of special memory there.
They do. It's just a special place, and it's beautiful. Now it's, It was totally a miracle that not more homes were burned down.
Yeah, and you know, there's 13 families that are, hey, wait a minute, but mine did, because 13 structures burned. But yeah, you're right. It could have been so much worse.
They could have taken the whole entire town.
Yeah.
We 2 weeks ago, we have a cabin in Pinto, and 2 weeks ago, we got a notice that they were evacuating Pinto.
Be aware, yeah.
And so we went up and just took things that, like, would explode if it did catch fire, guns, ammunition, gasoline, propane, things like that.
Right.
But people just need to be really, really careful this year. It's dry. We need rain desperately. And be safe.
Yeah. I hope everyone is. And, you know, if you have other problems and try to go to the emergency room tonight or tomorrow night, you're probably going to be seeing some things that you don't want to see, some blown off fingers and things. And I hope everybody's safe, some burns. But be safe.
Yeah, because you'll always hear those horror stories on the 5th of something that happened somewhere that was just tragic. And some, the thing with the aerial fireworks is sometimes they misfire and they go out instead of up.
Right.
So
I had a scoutmaster when I was a kid who had a thumb and a pinky and no other fingers. And when he'd shake people's hand, they'd give him a really funny look, like, what? But it was a fireworks accident. He lost three fingers to a fireworks accident. Yeah. So I've been asking everybody this week, 4th of July, we're all going to have a little bit of extra time this weekend. Might want to snuggle in and watch a movie. Do you have a 4th of July movie recommendation? And this is totally, by the way, impromptu.
I didn't give her time to think about this or anything. But yeah. A few years ago, maybe more than a few, Tony and I, over the 4th of July, we binged John Adams, the series.
Okay.
And it was really good.
Really? John Adams, the former president,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And there how many episodes?
I think there were six.
So maybe a 6-hour commitment. Not too bad.
But it was really fascinating. You know, it starts with the Revolutionary War, and then from the time that he's elected, and it was really good.
I got to go to a show that was here in town, a live show. History That Doesn't Suck was the name of it. And it was actually really good because he talked a lot about the Revolutionary War and kind of personalized some of what the guys were going through.
Yeah.
And how George Washington and John Adams, those people ended up getting involved and stuff. And so, yeah, cool. Very, very cool. So John Adams, binge watch a six series.
I think it's six.
Okay.
I can remember right. But, yeah, we really enjoyed it, and that's what we did. We just binged it.
Is it still HBO, or can you get it elsewhere?
I probably think you could get it on Netflix now.
Okay.
Or Prime.
Yeah, all right.
Something like that.
I always liked the movie Independence Day, and I know, Independence Day, but just the speech at the end with the president where he says, it won't just be an American holiday, it'll be the world's independence. I love that.
Yeah.
You know? And then Will Smith is so funny in that movie. So I have got to get me one of these, you know.
I remember going to see that, and I laughed. I thought it was a funny movie,
yeah,
but
cool.
My top one.
No, it's kind of a guy movie a little bit,
yeah.
I think.
The Patriot would be good to watch.
Yes,
yeah. That's always good, you know. I love the time period movies.
Okay, yeah. So I think I'll probably follow your advice, and my wife and I will look up the John Adams thing and see if we can watch that. That sounds fascinating to me.
It was really good.
Although I got to be honest with you, I will watch it. She will watch the first 10 minutes and fall asleep every time. her modus operandi there.
So. You know, cut us some slack.
It's okay. A reminder again, the parade tomorrow is 7:45 a.m.
Right,
so if you're a late sleeper, you're going to miss it. Sorry.
Yep.
I ran into Chief Kyle Whitehead last night at Costco. He was, he was stocking up on candy
to throw in
the parade.
Yep.
And I think he said his kids were riding in the cruiser.
I've got some grandkids that always are like, Grandma, can we be in the parade? So, yeah, I'll have some grandkids
with me. You know who else I ran into at Costco? Also stocking Nate Brooksby, the sheriff. So
more candy.
Costco. So what happened? We made an appointment to get our, and we're running out of time. We made an appointment to get our tires rotated at Costco because it's a pretty good price and everything. But when we got in there and we got checked and we made an appointment, all that got checked in, the guy said, all right, give me an hour and a half. I'm like,
An hour and a half to rotate tires?
And I think it's a plot to get you to go into Costco and spend money, which we did, of course.
And you cannot. Nobody can go into Costco and leave there under $100.
That's crazy.
I want to see a receipt if you do.
You go and buy a gallon of milk. Oh, this milk cost me $170.
It's true.
So. Michelle Randall on today, and Michelle, fantastic to have you today, and we'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow in the parade.
I will
see you practicing your little wave.
Yeah, I'll practice my princess wave, and then everyone have a safe and happy Independence Day.
Yeah, we will do it, and we love our country. And,
yes, we do.
And I just remembered I was supposed. Well, a lot of stuff going on in Washington City. They're honoring Quentin Nyson, a statue.
Oh, really?
Nyson.
For tomorrow?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, and I was supposed to talk more about it. I will have something on the internet about it at 890kdxu.com. But, Michelle, thanks again for coming
on. Thanks, Andy.
And happy Independence Day.
You too. Bye-bye.